Welcome, everyone. Please stand for the flag salute. Councilor Onslow.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and welcome, everyone. Ms. Julie, could you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Onslow.
Here.
Councilmember Coker.
Present.
Councilmember Wells.
Here.
Councilmember Akeley.
Here.
Councilmember Lindsay.
Here.
Councilmember Chipman. Mayor Stos.
Here. I would accept a motion to excuse Councilmember Chipman from the meeting this evening.
I so move.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to excuse Councilmember Chipman from the meeting this evening. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda?
No late changes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Council, I have two proclamations to read this evening. The first will be on the National Disability Employment and Awareness Month. However, before I read that proclamation, we have a video that we would like to show you from the Disability Board, and also the video or second video shows and highlights one of our local businesses, which is Rose Hours, that is being awarded for the large business for participation in the disability program. So, Julie?
So my name is Stephanie. I work at Richfield Rose Hours. I'm a Christie clerk. My job is pretty much to take care of customers, make sure the bags are packed the right way.
I've been working with Stephanie since she started here. We both started at the beginning of the opening of the store. She is very conversational with customers that come through. She's good at tasks that we ask her to do. Stephanie gets carts. She bags groceries. She does floor sweeps. We like to offer every single customer help out to their car, bagging correctly. And that completely changed when COVID hit. We then had to have all the courtesies in the lobby, detailing carts in and out, sanitizing everyone as they came in and out, handing out masks as needed. They took the brunt of customers' irritations for people who were and were not using masks, unfortunately, and Stephanie was able to handle that really well.
We wore masks, we wore gloves, we sanitized carts, we made sure everything was sanitized and clean, ready to go.
What she brings to the table is her positive attitude. She wants to do the right thing for the customer, even if she's not sure what it is. Her intentions are always to do the right thing.
That's the reason why I like working here, because I have really nice people that love me to pieces and treat me with respect.
Stephanie and our other employees are really connected to us as coworkers and management. Their desire is to do the best job that they can.
Thank you very much. Now I will read the proclamation. The National Disability Employment Awareness Month is held each October to educate about disability employment issues and celebrate the many and varied contributions of workers with disabilities. And whereas, despite the progress that has been made since passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, people with disabilities still face discrimination in employment, limited access to skills training, and unfairly low expectations. And whereas the theme for the National Disability Employment Awareness Month 2021, America's Recovery, Powered by Inclusion, reflects the importance of ensuring that people with disabilities have full access to employment and community involvement during the national recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas every day people with disabilities can and do make important contributions to our businesses, says the Campaign for Disability Employment. They have the drive to succeed and the skills and talent necessary to deliver on the job. And whereas on October 6, 2021, Rose Hours Supermarkets received the Large Employer of the Year Award from the Clark County Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board for promoting equitable employment opportunities for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities since they opened in December of 2019. And now, therefore, I, Don Stos, Mayor of the City of Ridgefield, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2021 as Disability Employment Awareness Month and encourage employers to take action now to support the hiring, retention, and promotion of employees with disabilities, and ask residents to help create a community where people with disabilities are supported and accepted for who they are. And with us this evening, by Zoom, we have Walt Gordon, who is the Clark County Development Disability Board member. So, Mr. Gordon, I know that you're with us on the phone. We'd love to hear from you, sir.
Well, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate very much. As a sputter myself, it's encouraging to see my town, my community, having such an award like this. And Ross Hours is a fine place for employment and also to shop. And I can attest to that because I was there twice today. But I wanted to call out specifically Councilperson Lindsay and the efforts that she has made to promote hiring people with disabilities. And given the current climate climate of employees being very difficult to find, the people with disabilities are an excellent choice, and I don't think that you'll ever be disappointed. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Walt. Thanks for joining us this evening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next, we have the next proclamation that we have is for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And whereas October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, an annual campaign to recognize the seriousness, seriousness of this condition, show support for patients who have battled the disease, and provide education on medical and social impacts of breast cancer. And whereas, according to the World Health Organization, breast cancer is the most common cancer in women worldwide, and still the leading cause of death for women. 1 in 7 women across the Pacific Northwest will be diagnosed with breast cancer. And whereas breast cancer can be treated successfully if diagnosed early, mammography, the most effective screening tool, can find cancers at early stage. Even when symptoms are invisible and not noticeable, but 28% of women did not schedule a breast cancer screening during the pandemic. And whereas a local organization, the Pink Lemonade Project, works to educate, empower, and support those affected by breast cancer. With the local Komen affiliate gone, the Pink Lemonade Project stepped up to continue those two programs. These new programs help with education, financial assistance, and support and community connections. And whereas for the fourth year, the Ridgefield Police Department is joining public safety agencies across the nation by participating in the Pink Patch Project. The project centers on vibrant pink versions of the agency's uniform patches, which are intended to show support for loved ones impacted by cancer and to raise money for the Pink Lemonade Project. Now, therefore, I, Don Stos, Mayor of the City of Ridgefield, do hereby proclaim October 2021 as Breast Cancer Awareness Month and encourage all residents to work to increase cancer screenings in Ridgefield and support those who have battled this disease. And we have with us this evening the CEO of Pink Lemonade Project, Susan Stearns. Susan, would you like to step to the podium and say a few words?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members, everyone in the audience. It's always wonderful to come up in Ridgefield. It feels like a home away from home for us and with Pink Lemonade Project. But I just want to say, really, that I'm a breast cancer survivor. It was staggering to hear the number of women that missed their mammograms and were just scared to go to the healthcare system at the beginning of the pandemic. And we're now learning that there are women who are getting diagnosed later with more aggressive treatments and likely greater deaths as a result of the pandemic. So it was hard enough to fight cancer before the pandemic, but I'm proud to Lee Pink Lemonade Project and help out those that are going through the breast cancer experience during New World. So anyway, thank you for the attention. We like to encourage people to buy pink hearts. The dollars do help support our programs and directly go into the hands of patients and families who are affected by this disease. And just thank you for the attention to this important public issue and the time tonight.
Great. Thank you, Susan.
Here's the proclamation. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay. Next, we will move on to public comment. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yes, Lieutenant. Lieutenant Doriot, please come to the podium and talk to us about the Pink Patch program.
I'll try to be short and sweet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I want to give a little backstory. My mom was first diagnosed with breast cancer in 1980. I think I was about 14 years old at the time. Although I knew she was sick, I don't think I really appreciated what she was going through. Obviously, chemotherapy, radiation, and eventually a mastectomy, which caused the disfiguration of her body. And in those days, they didn't do a lot of reconstruction. So she lived with that for quite a while. She was a fighter, and she survived. But jump forward 22 years, and in 2002, she was diagnosed the second time. Only that time, the breast cancer had metastasized to bone cancer. So by this time, I was an adult, so I was much more help to her. I actually took her to most of her appointments, met with her oncologist, took care of her at home when she was sick after her treatments. So with that all in mind, it wasn't a big stretch when somebody came to me and said, hey, there's this thing called the Pink Patch Project. Do you think you guys would be interested? I was like, yep, more than interested. So that was back in, I think, 2018. If you look up at the screen there, you'll see our first edition of our pink patch, which is the one to the far left. It's very bright pink. I don't know if Chief really liked that one so much, but I talked him into it. And then you'll see the 2019, the 20, and now this year our 2021 patch. So I thought that the Pink Patch Project was a fantastic way for our police department and our city to not only honor those who have lost their lives to breast cancer, but to also support those who are fighting the fight. So I appreciate your support, and I hope that everyone will get out and purchase one of our pink patches. We are hearing good news that we are selling pretty quickly. They can still be purchased at Taps Brewery, Lava Java, Brood Awakening, and at the Ridgeville Hardware. And I would encourage you to get it soon because I think we're getting close to being sold out. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Lieutenant. Next, we will move on to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, please press *9 to raise your hand and press *6 to mute or unmute your computer. Please state your name and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this public comment? Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this public comment? Seeing none and seeing no raised hands, we are going to move on. Move on to the consent agenda. I want to accept a motion.
I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. Any questions, council? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to a public hearing. We have a public hearing and first reading of ordinance number 1349, an amendment to the Union Ridge Development Agreement. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community. This is an amendment to a development agreement that was approved by the council in June of 2006. The agreement was effective on June 30th of 2006. The use designation within that for Union Ridge, which was the subject of the development agreement, included a master plan that identified not only the uses which were allowed, but also the development standards, architectural standards, and many other different standards that apply to the Union Ridge subdivision. And just for some clarification as far as location, because we don't have a map of with showing the location within context, is Union Ridge is where Dollar Tree, UNFI, a lot of those businesses east of I-5, south of 5th, and east of 65th. That is the primary area for Union Ridge. There is also a Union Ridge West. Union Ridge West is on the northwest quadrant of the I-5 interchange. It's about 760 or 70 acres on the west side as well that are covered by this overall 2006 agreement. This agreement does specify the uses. There is a user within Union Ridge that sought to change those uses specifically with regards to what is known as adjusted lot number 4 under the Union Ridge Master Plan. The lot that is in question is directly adjacent to 5th and east of 65th. It is under construction right now. Anybody who's gone out there recently would have seen a big pile of dirt and a whole bunch of dirt being moved, and they're doing foundation work on it. And the reason is because to be able to change that, they actually needed to go through a change of designation from destination retail, high impact commercial, to office industrial park. They did that with a hearings examiner via PLZ 210049 earlier this year. So the change to the development agreement is really the last step, because the development agreement itself actually speaks to, in one of its sections, speaks to the master plan and the uses contained within. And any changes to that master plan, if they did not create a decrease in impacts, must come before council for your review and seeking your approval. That's what we're trying to do here this evening, is we're looking to just simply integrate, formally integrate the adjusted lot for use designation into the Union Ridge Master Plan, which is referenced and contained within the original development agreement. In addition to those change of uses being memorialized, the development agreement amendment also does some things that the developer has offered to further screen, vegetate, beautify, enhance the natural environment and the view shed in the area, recognizing that the building that is being constructed, because of the size, the scope, and the location of it, will be somewhat visible from the highway, from 5th, from 65th. So they wanted to make sure that they did everything possible to make sure that it was a net benefit to the community. So the things that they have offered are threefold. The first thing, and we won't show you the first thing because it's a dollar thing, the first thing is that there is just over $54,000 that was given to the city by another developer in the area as a fee in lieu of doing some frontage improvement work on 10th, which is on the south side of this subdivision. So, and again, I'm sorry I don't have a map to show you this, but as you go down Union Ridge Parkway into the Union Ridge subdivision, if you take a right onto 10th, then it just kind of dead ends. That road will be continued. It will be continued, and then ultimately it will ramp up over I-5 and connect on the west side of I-5 with 11th, which is where Par Lumber is. So SPECT Development Corporation, which is the corporation that is doing the work and who we are doing this work with on a development agreement amendment, had already agreed to build 10th. Up to where the ramp is, and to build the full width. And so this other developer who had a responsibility to do some of that work, since SPECT was already doing the work, this developer said, well, why don't we just give you the money, and then you give that to SPECT for our proportionate share of that work. So they did. They paid that $54,000. It's sitting in the city's funds. And SPECT said, you know what, instead of giving us those funds, we'll just complete that work on 10th, as we're required to do under our agreement. City, why don't you just keep that money and use it to help further vegetate, further landscape the area that this is, you know, that surrounds the building. So that was the first thing they did, is actually offer $54,000 in additional funds that they were not required to do and that were theirs for the purposes of 10th to be able to actually further vegetate the site. So that's the first thing. Sorry, my screen just went dead. That's what happens when you talk too long. All right, second thing is we can either show either one, the landscape or the facade improvements, either way. All right, so the second thing that Spec Development offered to enhance with this change of uses designation is to further landscape the site. There are development agreement requirements, there are site plan requirements that went through the hearings examiner process. They took both of those, integrated both of those, and then added more to it. The things that they added really focus on the view shed from the north. So if you see the red on the north side there, there will be a proposed new native plantings area on the north side of the site, so that from 5th and from 65th, you would have further vegetative screening and buffer on the edge of that wetland, so that it would actually not only further vegetate and buffer the site, but it actually would enhance that wetland area. So that's the first thing that they offered to do. And the second thing they offered to do is on the west side of the site. On the west side of the site, that they looked to further enhance the tree canopy on the west side of the site. There were some trees there prior. There were a few trees on the west side of it, I'm looking at Mayor Pro Tem Wells, that were there and are no longer. So they're actually looking to do some replanting and some actual plantings that will work with the ultimate ramp. And you can see where 10th is. This actually shows it pretty darn well. It's on the southwest side of this, the lower left. You can see 10th and how 10th will be built by spec, and then ultimately the right-of-way for where the ramp will be. And then they want to further vegetate that on just to the side of where that ramp will be to actually provide a better buffer, not only near term, but also longer term as that ramp gets built. So that was the second thing that they offered to do, in further providing a vegetative screening and buffer for what is a relatively large, you know, building in site. And it's a 275,000 square foot, I believe. I'm looking at you, Claire, you remember? I believe it's a 275,000 square foot building that we're talking about with this. It actually says in really, really small print under building. So if anybody has like super site, this is your chance. This is one chance. Oh, look at you. All right, going in there. No, builder, it's bigger. 470, not 270. Sorry about that.
470.
All right, so that's the second thing that was offered. The third thing has to do with the building facade itself. Again, we're talking about a large building. This is 470,000 square foot building. If you can go to the facade, there we go. So the other thing that we talked about with the developer is with this large of a building, and we've seen this with some of our larger buildings out in the Union Ridge Parkway area and the Union Ridge subdivision, is that with that large of a building, if you don't have breaks in the facade, if you don't have some sort of visual breaks, it's a big long wall that all looks the same. And so just to create visual interest, to be able to actually create something that has a better visual, better design to it, they worked with their architect to enhance the facade, both the colors, the textures, and adding visual interest with some cutouts, with some pushouts. And forgive me, I'm not an architect, so I don't know the terminology super well. What I do know is that all the areas that are in little clouds, that looks like there's little clouds around it, that is all area that has been amended and upgraded via the architect to enhance the visual facade. So you can see that there's pushouts, cutouts. There's also, they added some kind of second story on different sides of it. They added second story kind of window look to it, to really give it a better look and feel and have it break it up a little bit. So it isn't just one big long wall or four big long walls, as the case may be. A picture of that, so they actually sent a picture over that the architect has done on a similar building nearby. And we have that picture as well. So that gives you a sense of kind of, and it's not exactly what you saw in the previous, but it's pretty close to it, that this is the look that you will be getting, as opposed to just having four straight walls with nothing breaking them up and no windows, no cutouts or pushouts, anything like that. So that gives you a little sense of the three enhancements that the developer has offered to be able to really create a better product and in turn create a better community. So we certainly appreciate the work that the developer has done to be able to get us to this point. What we are asking for this evening is we're asking for you to, once you've asked any questions you might have of staff, is to open that up for public hearing, and then we would take any feedback that we get from you and from the public. We would work together with the developer to formally adopt or firmly amend the documents as you see fit, and then bring it to you at the next meeting for your deliberation and potential approval. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you very much. Council, questions?
Mr. Stewart, does this this building will bring employment to the city? That may be one big business, or it could be broke up. The building inside could be broke up for several businesses, or?
That's correct, Counselor. The reason for the change of uses is really to provide more flexibility in the types of uses that the developer can seek to fill the space. So the types of employers that they can bring. And so the 470,000 square feet can simply be a single employer. It also could be up to four employers. And that's what SPECT has talked about, is they have built, they're building it with the potential to be able to split it up to have up to four tenants within it. And certainly, you know, they're which tenants and how, it's going to be a matter of how much space does each one need and how the fit it works for them. But between one and four employers will be placed within that building.
Thank you.
Council, any other questions? All right, great. Seeing none, I will open this public hearing. It is now time for a public hearing. If you have signed up with the city clerk prior to the meeting to address the city council, your name will be called and the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone or come forward to the podium. If you have not provided notice in advance to speak during the public hearing, please use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you wish to make a comment, the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone. For the controls over the phone, press *9 to raise your hand and *6 to mute or unmute. As in a live meeting, please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. There will be no back and forth interaction between the speaker and the council. So I will open this public hearing. This is a public hearing for ordinance number 1349, the amendment to the Union Ridge Development Agreement. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this public hearing? Is there anyone wishing to speak at this public hearing? Seeing none and seeing no one's hand raised, I will close the public hearing. Julie, do we need to read the ordinance into the record? Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1349, ordinance of the City of Richland, Washington, approving a first amendment to the development agreement with Pioneer Estates, LLC.
Thank you. This is the first reading and we'll come back to the council in 2 weeks. Next, we will move on to a second public hearing and first reading of ordinance number 1350, an amendment to the Ridgefield Heights development agreement. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and community. This is an ordinance seeking to approve a first amendment to the development agreement with ODC Ridgefield Heights, LLC. In 2007, there was a subdivision application and approval for the Kemper subdivision. Kemper subdivision is at the, what we would call the northwest quadrant of the G Creek Plateau, which is just off of Bertzinger Road, off of 15th and 10th and South 35th Place. So it is an area that has been slated for development since 2007. The 2007 approval included 200 lots. That decision also did include a requirement that the Kemper subdivision construct at their expense a connection to Pioneer Street or SR 501 from South Bertzinger Road. Due to topography, environmental, road classification, and cost concerns, the developer subsequently asked the city to consider a development agreement in 2017 for the subdivision, which is subsequently been referred to as Ridgefield Heights. So that would change the classification of Bertzinger to a local access road only, remove the replacement bridge required by the 2007 final order, not allow any new trips from the subdivision or from construction on South Bertzinger Road, and it would require developer contribution for the future extension of South 35th Avenue from the project area to Pioneer SR 501. Finally, and importantly for the purposes of this amendment, it required the developer to improve South 10th Way between the eastern boundary of the subject properties to the intersection of South 35th Place. The city, in that agreement, agreed to plan, design, and construct improvements to South 35th Place, which would connect the improvements on South 10th Way and South 15th Street. South 15th Street, in a separate agreement, was required to be constructed to a scenic collector standard by the Clover Hill subdivision, part of which has already been completed, part of which will be completed associated with these projects that we're talking about tonight. So the development agreement amendment that is before you comes before you because the developer is already underway with designing the improvements for South 10th Way. As they were doing the design for South 10th Way, they asked if it might be possible to coordinate the work to design and ultimately build improvements on South 35th Place. Because they were not in control of the timing associated with it and weren't sure how that would coordinate with the city, they simply asked if they could do that work and be reimbursed for the cost of it instead of the city paying for it ourselves and doing it ourselves. So that is the amendment that we are bringing before you this evening. Is relatively simple and straightforward. It is to change the responsibility in that 2017 agreement for South 35th Place to the developer instead of the city. In return for that, the developer would be, we would be committing to bring you a capital facilities plan amendment that includes South 35th Place in order to make it eligible for traffic impact fee credits to be granted to that developer for reimbursing their costs. So they do the work, they get the costs, they hand the costs into the city. City says, yes, it is able to be reimbursed. Here, give us your expenses. Here are the certificates for traffic impact fee credits, not cash, but traffic impact fee credits. So that is the agreement we're bringing before you. There were a couple of comments that are not contained within what you have within the packet that came back from the developer on the draft agreement. The only two, and vast majority of it was agreed to, the only two that came back were, number one was just making sure that we specify the timing associated with when we would be bringing the council that capital facility plan amendment request. We have the ability, because of the process that was adopted by this council, we have the ability to update the CFP eligible projects at any time. So it is something that we can bring to you on a short turn. So that is something that we would look to add between first and second reading. And again, forgive me, I want to make sure that I get the second comment correctly. And secondly, that there is a time is of the essence provision contained within the development agreement amendment. And the request was simply to have that language apply to timely review of construction and engineering documents, just so that while they were doing that work to design, that they would have timely review to be able to get the work completed, because that work must be completed before the city will sign off on the final plat for that first phase. So they know they need to get that work done before they can start, you know, before they can get people in the houses. That's all I have on this agreement. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Our request, again, is to open the public hearing after you've asked any questions you might have, and then bring this back at second reading at our next meeting for potential final action.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stewart. Questions, Council?
Mr. Stewart, if the city constructs the roadway, typically the city has to pay prevailing wage, where private developers, they have their own wage scales and stuff, so that taxpayers would end up saving, we would save some tax base, right, if the developer completed the work rather than the city. Is that a fair statement, or?
That is very, generally speaking, that is absolutely correct. You know, I can't speak to every project and the, you know, the cost differentials for every project, but on average, there's approximately a 30% differential between if a private developer constructs the roadway and uses their pay scale versus if the city does it and uses prevailing wage. So yes, the public would be saving money in the vast majority of cases. Again, I don't want to speak so generally that, you know, so broadly that there can't be an exception to the rule. But by the rule, yes, the public would, on average, save approximately 30%.
Thank you.
I just had a timing question really quick. So the capital facilities plan would be brought to us at the next meeting, and we would review that before we would look at the second reading?
So our goal would certainly be to bring back that capital facilities plan amendment very soon. Whether it's at the next meeting would be a question more of timing associated with notice. Okay. We need to make sure that we give adequate notice for those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So we would certainly be working with the city clerk to determine when we could bring that back most expediently. But when that is brought back, then I think Mr. Cass can speak more to what that would look like for you.
Okay. What would be the timing for them to work on that 35th?
So they're already under design, and I want to make sure that Mr. Cass does answer Councilor Lindsay's question. But okay. But for the purposes of when they would be working on it, they are under design already. For that, I do not have a specific timeline to when they would be doing the roadway improvements. They would be working. They would have to go through permitting and review with our staff, so mm-hmm. we would get a construction timeline. When we have that, we would most definitely not only share that with the council, but make sure that the neighbors, the neighborhood, the community gets that heads up as well.
So, and then regarding the traffic impact fee list amendment process, with the changes that were done, I believe in late 2019 it was, council can, as Mr. Stewart said, adjust the list at any time. So we will bring that back to you with a recommendation. We'll also look at the same time adding any other projects that have come through the process that needed to be added, and also removing projects that have been completed at that time. But it would just be a standard ordinance sort of process.
What is the anticipated time for 35th? Is it way now going on through to Pioneer across the canyon?
So in the draft budget that is being developed right now and will be coming back to council here for adoption shortly, we have pre-design money for that project, basically doing a study of all the critical areas, geological hazards, everything to get across that canyon. And then from that, we will go into design and then construction. So we're probably looking at...
I didn't hear a time and date certain, and I know it's a moving target a little bit, but what's...
I would say we're probably, my best guess at this point is probably the 2024 to 2025 range.
Okay. For construction. The goal would be to go pre-design 2022, design in 2023, construction in 2024, 2025, depending on timelines for permitting and such, and right away.
Thank you.
Council, any further questions? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on to a public hearing. It's now time for a public hearing. If you've signed up with the city clerk prior to the meeting to address the city council, your name will be called and the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone or come forward to the podium. If you've not provided notice in advance to speak during the public hearing, please use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you wish to make a comment, the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone. For the controls over the phone, press star 9 to raise your hand and press star 6 to mute or unmute. As in a live meeting, please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. There will be no back and forth or interaction between the speaker and the city council. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this public hearing? This is a public hearing on ordinance number 1350, the amendment to the Ridgefield Heights Development Agreement. Yes, Mr. Garrison, please step forward.
Roy Garrison, 1186 South 30th Place. I'm in a deep creek plateau along with the rest of these folks where everything's been changed, My driveway is right at the corner of where all that development is occurring. And I walk out there every morning to get my newspaper. And the wife says, how come it's taking you so long? Well, I've been watching them wear the dirt out over there, pushing it around for the last 7-8 months. I guess I have some concerns, as not some concerns so much as comments. Part of this is in the city, part of it's in the county. Who has the jurisdiction the city or the county for when they start permitting and the standard it's built to. That's one thing that I would like to ask. I think Council Member Wells there made a comment about the roundabout. It's my understanding, listen to what I heard here this evening now, that you will develop from that development up 10th Place, then go south on 35th, and then finish 15th up to the Royal housing developments there on the Royal project. If that's the case, will that all be completed? Will that be a half width improvement, or is it going to be a full width improvement for that road? And will all that occur before any housing permits will be issued? Because if, you know, I'm just going to have some questions about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. I'm sure staff will get back to you. Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? Seeing none and seeing no hands raised, I am closing. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, feel free and close if you would like.
Okay. Sir. I'm closing the public hearing. Mr. Stewart?
Mr. Mayor, if you would like, we could certainly answer those questions. I can answer them right now.
Oh, that'd be
like.
Great. That'd be awesome.
If that would be helpful.
Yes. Thank
Happy
you.
Happy to do it. So the two questions that were raised, who has jurisdiction? The city has jurisdiction over the roadways in question here. The city has jurisdiction because when the city annexed the Potter properties, in that annexation, the roadways were also annexed to connect the city on either side, because it didn't make any sense for it to be a county road in between city roads when you're adding trips from Potter. So when Potter came in, 15th, 35th, 10th in that area, between city points, between incorporated points, were brought into the city limits. So those are part of the city and would be subject to city jurisdiction and city permitting, city processes. The roadway classification that is for those roadway pieces is a scenic collector standard. It's a 24-foot width of paved roadway. So the 24-foot paved width roadway, full width, will be completed for all three of those segments prior to when houses are built and coming through there. The 35th and the 10th pieces of that will be constructed by, if this goes through, would be constructed by the developer of Ridgefield Heights. They would be doing full width, scenic collector, 24-foot paved road width. They would not need to be going into people's yards and all of that. There's no additional right-of-way that's necessary for that. That was part of why the scenic collector standard was chosen for that. And then the 15th piece would be by Clover Hill. There is a specific provision within the development agreement for Ridgefield Heights that says final plat for the first phase of Ridgefield Heights will not be granted until 10th and 35th are constructed. So 10th and 35th are controlled by the developer of Ridgefield Heights, and that's why they wanted to move they wanted to do 35th, because they want to have control over getting that done and so that they can actually get final plat on the first phase of development. 15th, they've already done the first half. They were simply waiting until the city got it into city jurisdiction, because they couldn't get through county permitting processes without doing a lot more that would have actually really infringed upon the private properties on either side of 15th. And so they held off until they were in the city, which is now. I hope that answers those questions for you.
Great.
All right. Thank you. And I'll catch up with Mr. Garrison afterwards to make sure.
Great. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Ms. Julie, could you read the ordinance into the record, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1350, ordinance of the City of Richfield, Washington, approving a first amendment to the development agreement with ODC Richfield Heights, LLC.
Thank you very much. And this will come back to the council in 2 weeks. Next, we'll move on to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 to raise your hand and press star 6 to mute or unmute. Please state your name and limit your comment to 3 minutes. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this public comment? Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this public comment? Seeing none and seeing no one's hand raised on my screen, we will close the public comment and move on to council reports. Council Member Lindsay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have done quite a few things. I'll just give a quick rundown and then one highlight. I volunteered at BirdFest. I was able to help out with the arts and crafts booth, which was a lot of fun to interact with families. I attended a handful of citizen forums, two ribbon cuttings, and my highlight was the Clark County Disability Employment Awards. You guys all saw the video featuring Rose Hours, who won the Large Employer of the Year Award. So I just wanted to say quickly that diversity, equity, and inclusion doesn't just mean race and gender. It also includes ability, which I think is really important that we focused our proclamation this month on that. And I am very proud to have been able to represent Richfield for the third year in a row at this celebration. It's one of my favorite events of the year. It's so very inspiring. And I'm just going to continue to advocate for people with disabilities in our community.
Great.
And that's all I got to say.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Great job on that. Councillor Akeley.
Yeah, I also attended a few events over the last 3 weeks. The Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors meeting, which we discussed some upcoming ribbon cuttings. I did attend one. The Richfield Arts Association, they elected a new president, Jack Androvich, at the meeting. Went to a council mini retreat where we worked on discussing code of ethics and code of conduct for city council. And I attended two pre-apps, one for called Greeley Farm Phase 2, 25 single detached units, and the pre-app for the Cruzan property, which is the dentist that's up above Lava Java. He wants to build his new building just across the street, down a couple blocks. And then the Ridgefield Neighbors on Watch monthly meeting, where we discussed that we're now affiliated with Citizen Corp, which will benefit the Neighbors on Watch program in many ways that I'm sure the chief will touch on. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
Okay, I did attend the I'll get it closer to me there. The two pre-apps that Councilman Akeley turned around and mentioned, attended the retreat, had two ribbon cuttings for UNFI and Simons International. And on the 13th, we had a briefing, and on the 9th, I attended the memorial procession that started at Alene and for the tow truck driver that was killed in Kalama, and it encompassed 305 vehicles, tow trucks and other trucks, and it went from Alene to exit 11, back to exit 32, the Klama River, and back. The procession was 9.5 miles long. And they had received to date a little over $10,000 in donations to the family. And there is another donation that's going to be coming forward in the next week or so, but can't be disclosed at this time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, of course, attended many of the same events, but I would just like to say I'm excited to see the increased activity and renewed interest in the business community, these events that the Chamber of Commerce has been partnering with the city on, and active memberships increasing, and, you know, as the city continues to grow, it's good to see that we have a strong, healthy base and that we're continuing to work on that community. So thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Councillor Onslow.
Well, it was a busy 3 weeks. Everybody was really busy. One of the things about the two ribbon cuttings was Simons is the largest company that makes saw blades for timber and sawmills, et cetera. And their headquarters are now in Ridgefield, which is pretty awesome. The UNFI ribbon cutting today was for the additional storage space that was, that they, not storage, it's actually all of their products. And they have, counting their truck drivers, they have 700 to 850 people working for them. And their parking lot, Mr. Stoss and I were parked at the North 40, it seemed like, to get in there just for the ribbon cutting. We had a work party at the Nature Park, and thanks to the city for getting some of the things that were there. We had a nice turnout, and thanks to the city's guy, the public works individual who hauled the pipes that the club, that the regional wastewater gave us. We got them up the hill and properly placed, and then Mr. Clyde Burkle and I dug and set many pieces of cedar rounds for the kids to climb. The Clark County Wastewater, I would bring this up only because it's so important, but the Clark County Regional Wastewater District has decided to go ahead, and they are going to take over the county's position of running the sewage treatment plant, which is a really big thing. We've been waiting to have this happen for about 10 years, and so that's going to go forward. Had an RTC meeting, an AWC meeting. The RTC is Regional Transportation Commission. There was a lot of discussion on the projects that are going on in the county and whether the feds or the state are going to move forward with providing monies for a lot of these transportation products. The briefing was extraordinary. It was only 3 hours long. And we covered a lot of ground, so thank you.
Yep, great.
Thank you very much. And for me, I was able to attend a lot of everything that's been said already. And as Councilor Onsler just said, the briefing was awesome. There's so much going on. A three-hour briefing keeps us all up to date. With that, I will turn it over to Mr. Stewart.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and community. Just touch on a couple of things. Won't keep you for 3 hours on it. I got kind of some bad and some good. So the bad is, and just going to take a couple minutes here to paint this, is that about 5 or 6 years ago, the property just west of Royal Road and south on the south side of Pioneer, there was a 40-acre parcel owned by the Gretsch family. It was split zoned. It was zoned, half of it was zoned for residential, multifamily. Half of it was zoned for commercial. Someone bought the residential piece of it and wanted to build apartments. And that's all they were going to build was apartments. At the time, the council and the community had said, you know, if you're going to have that kind of density with people living there, you need services and amenities for those people. This is before Rosars, before any of those services existed. So at that time, we started trying to work on a plan to integrate a park and services into that plan for apartments. But we didn't have a commercial developer at the time. It was at about that time when one of our residential developers who's been here forever, Mark Jeffries, was talking with Councilor Onslow, then Mayor Onslow, and said, you need to meet a guy named Ron Edwards, who had built Phillida Village down on, I don't remember the name of it there, Lakeshore. Like, yeah, it's about 14 different names before you get down to the Port of Vancouver. But it contains the bar, there's a bar three in there, and there's a brewer, a little brewery and all kinds of stuff. So Councilor Onslow spoke with Ron Edwards about coming and doing a development in Ridgefield. Ron was excited about it. He came up here and started talking with us about his vision for an urban village, for something that would actually really relate to the people of Ridgefield and would be part of who we are, and not just big, oversized buildings that didn't have a personality to them. It was that was the beginning of what we now know as Pioneer Village. That contains the Acero Apartments. There is a 10-acre park, Horns Corner Community Park, which is beginning design right now. for the amenities that it will contain and the enhancements to the natural environment. And there's a 10-acre commercial development with pads that have already that are already underway, buildings that are already up, and many more to come. The vision for that was Ron Edwards. And I tell you all this because council knows this, but for those who don't, Ron passed away on Sunday night of a heart attack. He was 62. It was too early, it was sudden, and it's sad. And his vision will be missed. He has a partner that will be moving forward with the project. It will continue. His vision will be realized there, but we'll miss working with him on that. So that's the bad one. The good news also has a little bit of a story, and that is that about the time when I first got here and was being toured around 7 years ago by then Mayor Onslow and councilors who were here, one of the big things that was a conversation was the cleanup that the port was undertaking, the amazing cleanup, $90 million, 20 plus years of our waterfront, and our ability to connect with the water for the first time in 100 years. But part of that project and what we were going to do for the next step relied on our interaction with the water and the ability to get craft in and out of it. And Captain Ron over there couldn't get a sailboat in the Lake River. That was a problem because you can't get sailboat in there. And when we have a waterfront development, how are we going to get big boats in there so those people can come in and spend money or live there and then take their boat out? Great idea. Got to dredge the mouth of Lake River to be able to do that. Lake River itself is fine. The mouth of Lake River was the problem. So that started about 5 years of advocacy at the federal level with the Army Corps of Engineers, from the council, from the city's lobbyists, from a lot of different folk, that led to, over this past week, we got news that the Army Corps of Engineers was tired of hearing from us and decided to go ahead and just fund the dredging this year. So the environmental work is done. The dredging will occur in November or December of this year. It will be dredged to a depth that will allow for larger craft to get in and out. So that really does set us on a good path to be able to really start working with the port and our community on the waterfront property and the redevelopment of that next year. So we're excited to, excited to get to work on that. And I know that the council is excited that the Corps is doing that work, and certainly you should be proud of all the work that you did to get there on that. And that's what I've got for this evening. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Ms. Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do not have anything this evening, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To piggyback on Councilman Onslow's talk about the nature play area, we also have some other work going on along the G Creek Trail in that area. We finally got started on our Transportation Alternatives Program, or TAP-funded enhancements to the G Creek Trail there. That's been about 3 years in the works here. It's a small federal project, but still has all the federal requirements. But the contractor actually got out and got started this week, so there is some benches going in, some interpretive signage, some split rail fencing, and some native plants. And then ultimately, at the end of the project, there will also be a pedestrian rapid flashing beacon installed at Heron Drive so that we can continue the trail across the road and to the north with the FLAP, Federal Lands Access Program grant that we've also received. Also of note, the engineering staff has moved over to the new facility, so we are excited to be starting our transition over to the new Public Works building that the council acquired for us last year, I guess it was, or earlier this year. I don't know, time's all blurring together here. And make some more room here at the RAC for some additional staff that are coming on board. With that, happy to answer any questions. Yeah, we know where we can get some now.
Yeah. Ms. Notenaris.
Just a real quick reminder that the fifth and last Halloween Haul is this weekend, tomorrow and Saturday, starting at 6 p.m. A little bit different format. It's outside on the trail. But all of the other activities that we've enjoyed the last few years will also be there. And then lots of activity on Halloween weekend. There will be trick-or-treating on Friday the 29th downtown between 3 to 5 or 6. There will be a trunk-or-treat at Union Ridge starting at 6:30 the same night. And then on Saturday, there is a trunk-or-treat at Rourke. So a lot of Halloween excitement in Ridgefield. That's all I have.
Great.
Can I ask
Ms. Zahn?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you need any help from the council on the 29th, help with handing out candy or anything like that?
I mean, you're always welcome, but I don't think so. This okay. is the trick-or-treat that usually younger kids go from business to business, so our staff is available at City Hall to hand out candy. But if you want to join us, always welcome.
What's the Rourke thing? What's happening there?
A trunk or treat, which is, you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Hey, I wanted to recognize Councillor Wells. For the last 6 years, he has delivered 50 straw bales down to Abrams Park for the corn maze, the little maze that they set up. And then after the event's over, Lee goes down there, Mr. Wells goes down there and gets them all picked up. And it's just really nice. There's so many people in the community that donate their time and efforts to pull that event off and raise money here in the community.
Great. Thank you very much. Ms. Parker, I see that you are on the line with us. Would you like to greet us?
I am on the line, but I don't have anything to report. So I'm happy to answer any questions and hoping y'all have a really good rest of the season.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Thank you for joining us this evening. And it's always a pleasure to have you online. And finally, Chief Brooks.
Good evening, Council. Now that I know that 3 hours is the limit, I promise not to take you past 2:45. So once a year I give you a report. We do a project where we go through the city and we let people know if they have not registered their cars in the state of Washington. That's just one of the things we do. This year we had a total number of 157 warnings issued, and of that, 25 people complied immediately, changed their license plates, and got that all taken care of. We did have to take and send 45 of those license plates off to the Washington State Patrol's investigation unit for further follow-up, since they didn't seem to want to change their license plates, and we checked them a couple of times. And then the majority of them, almost 90, one warning, and we never saw them again. So they were probably visitors. So, but we do keep an eye on that sort of thing. The other thing I'll touch on briefly is something that Councilman Akeley brought up, and that is the Citizen Corps. And so, by way of explanation, the Citizen Corps is a national organization that supports volunteer groups. And so our Neighbors on Watch program is affiliating with them. And what that does is it allows them to be eligible for certain grants. It also provides them with tools like scheduling software and things like that. So that's a nice thing to have some organizational support and some coverage for the Neighbors on Watch. And we can thank our volunteer coordinator, Jeanette Pipkin, for seeking that out and finding it and getting us all signed up for that. So I am happy to answer any questions. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one.
Uh-oh.
Did you hit the corner by my house?
For the license plate?
License plate for the RV, the boat, the trailer, the truck, the Jeep, and two cars.
I did not personally drive by there, and I don't have a map of where they drove by throughout the city. I know that they were covering the entire city. But absolutely, that's now on my list of places to take a quick look-see at.
And we also have on the line Mr. Johnson.
Ah, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Only thing I have is just a reminder that the Budget Advisory Committee will be meeting next week on Thursday at 2 p.m. at the RAC. Other than that, if you have any questions, I don't have anything else for you tonight.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. With that, we are adjourned.